I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, the James Squetta Podcast. Okay, we are pumping out more podcasts. We're trying to really get this feed rolling. The podcast studio is being developed, being built. So I'll have a video component as well for individualized podcasts. But this one right here is Kellen Moore and his press conference recapping day two of Saints training camp. The video is on the YouTube channel if you want to check it out there. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of stuff going on in the channel. Don't forget, we've got this channel. We've got the gaming channel, James Scrimetta Gaming. We have James Scrimetta Plus, the second channel, and then James Scrimetta Wrestling. The gaming channel, this week, we've had two episodes already of the College Football 26 Dynasty. So go check that out. We're going to be adding Madden content when that comes out, FC 26 when that comes out, other games here and there. And then on James Scrimetta Plus, we are soon to be opening cards. So we have a bunch of cards, baseball, college football, football, some other trading card stuff. We'll be updating our eBay store. Speaking of store, jamesgrimettastore.com. Get you a shirt, get you a damn mug. All right, thank you for listening to this. Drive safe if you're in the car listening to the podcast. Take it away, James. Saints head coach Kellen Moore recaps day two of Saints training camp. Ladies and gentlemen, the king of the universe. I love him like a brother. There's not another person on the planet that I trust more than Kellen Moore. God bless. Like Dr. Seuss. All right. Day two in the books. Friday. Happy Friday. TGIF. OTF. If you know what I mean. It's like Christmas morning every day. You wake up, Saints training camp, and we get more just content nonstop. So let's go ahead and listen to what Kellen's got to say about what he saw out there on Airline Drive. I like that hat a lot. I need to get it. I like that hat quite a bit.
Okay, awesome. So two transactions today. Julian Blackman, Jonathan Bullard. Got a chance to sign those guys, so fired up to have them apart.
I love when people are like, the Saints sign somebody. They're like, Julian Blackman is a super stud, baby. He's an absolute animal. It's like, guys, he was playing Fortnite 2 days ago, okay?
Our team, really good work today. A little bit more of a red zone theme today, just coming into the second day as we can continue the, you know, acclimation period and build this thing up. And so excellent work, good energy, really enjoyed it.
Do you mind the dust up that we had there near the end? I mean, obviously.
Yes, there was a little scrap. Okay, there was a little fisticuffs, if you will. I think it was a Brandon Cooks. Can't even remember now who the hombre was, but I think it was Cooks and a defensive back were kind of getting after it. That's what it's all about. Training camp's all about the scuffles.
It's expected. What are your opinions?
Those things are going to come up. You're going through great work, and so obviously you want to try and eliminate them as much as you can, but sometimes it's good to get guys to rally together, and we'll be just fine.
Do you have any philosophy on that? If it rises to a certain level, can people get kicked out of practice?
Yeah, we'll deal with all that stuff.
If somebody has someone in a sharpshooter or the scorpion deathlock or the dragon sleeper or the Texas cloverleaf or the walls of Jericho, at that point, yeah, you probably do step in. You don't want people getting put, in the camel clutch. But if it's just some good old-fashioned face pulling, some good old-fashioned grab the face mask, yank it down, you know what I mean? If it's a good old-fashioned fisherman suplex, if it's a good old-fashioned brain buster, at that point, what do they say? Boys will be boys, ladies and gentlemen.
Goes, but usually our guys are pretty good about, working together and, getting it addressed.
How much do you guys study, efficiency of time? Because, the amount of stuff you guys get done is kind of staggering relative to everything else we've seen around here. How much do you study that, plan it out, and how much effort goes into that?
Certainly, we spend a lot of time just trying to be as detailed as we possibly can, get the drills, be really clean, operate at a really high level. Because, again, we got to maximize every chance we get out here and put these guys in a really good position to be successful. successful so that, you know, tomorrow will be our third day in a row, which is, you know, kind of the longest length we'll go in a row, which will be our third day. So it'll be the first time they'll do that. They'll have to push through it. It'll be a really good test for them. Oop. And we'll just continue to build as we go.
That's important. All right. The efficiency. Did my voice just crack right there? The hell is going on here? Should have edited that out. Hopefully the intern does. If he doesn't, he's fired. That's important because these efficiencies and this like attention to detail and how important all that is, even this early, Dennis Allen, Mike McCarthy, Ron Rivera, all these retreads, they would just go out there, roll the ball out there, do your training camp stuff, whatever. You know, grab you a PB&J and I'll see you tomorrow. The fact that this coaching staff is taking this seriously and showing you right now what they'll do. If they're doing this right now, think about what they'll do in the regular season. Think about the efficiencies and the attention to detail they will have when it comes to game planning for a team on Sunday. Like that, it cannot be, I can't say this enough. We are going from the dark ages, we are going from, you know, candlelight and whatever to full-on technology. This is a technological innovation renaissance in New Orleans.
Something you've developed over time, was there like an influence on that? Or just
I think certainly a lot of places that you've been, you're always leaning on those experiences. And I feel like, you know, there's times where practice is going to be really long and we got to go through that process and be really, you know, pushing through a really long practice, which will come in pads. But right now we're trying to be really efficient and get these guys moving.
There's a philosophy behind red zone on day two that you like?
Yeah, just to bring the distance down a little bit. Yesterday was their first day going, which was a go get it, you know, and they opened up and they had to run. And now we kind of tighten the space.
Isn't that kind of smart, though? Like yesterday or whenever you're watching this, the first day they're doing full. You know, they're out there letting it rip, right? Running all over the place. So they know, okay, these guys are probably a little taxed. These guys are probably, you know, we don't want to go back-to-back days asking them to run these deep routes or whatever. So now let's shrink the field. Let's put our red zone day on day two, which then allows them, you know, one, it's good that you're working on the red zone stuff, but then also the players don't have to run as much. They don't have to throw as far. They don't, like, it just makes so much sense. And that those kind of little bitty baby things, like, you don't think about. You know, like, no one thinks about. It is what it is. But to me, like, the last two sentences he just said, I care so much more about that than, you know, anything that happened last year. I care so much more about that than, you know, whatever the narratives are coming out of last year.
Just to limit some of those long distances, sometimes there's some you know, sports science associated with that. Just
yeah, I just said Kellen.
Guys.
You mentioned the other day about, you know, that there's, look, quarterbacks are going to throw interceptions in camp. We saw the first one today.
Yep.
So now what are you wanting to see after that?
Yeah, it's always about how you respond to adversity. And so, you know, guys are going to make mistakes. You know, Spencer threw an interception today in a red zone period, which he'd done so many good things down there. And, you know, those one moments, you know, change games. And so he gets to evaluate it, learn from it. And I thought he responded really well.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people on Twitter in the comments were like, oh, Rattler threw an interception. Never mind. You know, it's like, guys, they're not going to go 10 for 10 every day. You don't want them to go 10 for 10 every day. It's okay. There's going to be picks. There's going to be missed passes. There's going to be one hops, whatever. Like, you got to look at the full body of work. This is not a one interception, two interception, one day, whatever, eliminate you, whether it's Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler.
The play right after that, he had the scramble right up the
yep.
middle. How do y'all chart that in a non-contact environment?
Yeah, it's all about decision making. He made a great decision. You know, it's kind of part of the Red Sea a little bit there, and he just ran through it, and so we're all good.
What do you think about
that? Little Old Testament reference, getting biblical on that ass. I like
it. Yeah, we'll continue to go through that process for all these guys. I thought Tyler did a good job, you know, working with those guys, communicating at a really high level, and that'll be a great experience for all these guys just to continue to rotate with those guys.
Whenever you swap out quarterbacks instead of rotating with the starters, what is the main thing
Yeah, again, the same stuff that we've talked about just from a consistency standpoint. They'll play with different players. They'll have to communicate with different guys. Eric's played center for a really long time in this league, and he's one of the best in the NFL. And so when you get a chance to team up with him, make sure you communicate at a really high level because he's going to be on it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're doing a quarterback competition and one guy's playing with the ones, one guy's playing with the twos, you know, that's a big advantage for the guy playing with Chris Olave and Eric McCoy and the other guys playing, you know, with backups. So.
Yeah, we're gonna be able to talk to the quarterbacks today. You played quarterback. What's it like training camp competition, you know, as a quarterback?
Yeah, it's just focus on the task at hand. Focus on your reps, your opportunities. You can't get too distracted in that there's other people a part of a competition. You focus on yourself, whether it's 6 reps that day, 4 reps, 10 reps, whatever it may be. Just keep getting better. Learn from your mistakes. And, you know, I think all of our guys, like we said before, all these guys have faced adversity, you know, in their past from an NFL or college perspective. And so these guys know how to handle these things.
Yeah, I mean, do what you do, just watch my shoes. You know what I'm saying? You gotta get out there and you gotta worry about yourself. You are in a competition, but if you press and treat it like a competition, that's where you make mistakes.
You guys want them to think of this as kind of like being a point guard, making the right decisions, taking shots when they're there and whatnot, in order to really get acclimated to the system. How have they been kind of adjusting to that? And is today kind of a red zone day more prominent with that kind of logic?
Well, certainly I think a lot of it comes down to that decision making, that consistency, them just going through, playing really, really fast and decisive. I think, you know, sometimes we can make quarterback position as complicated as we want it to. And these guys got to have a clean process, trust the process, make really good decisions, get the ball out of their hands. And I think these guys are doing a really good job of that.
It reminds me of my college football 26 dynasty mode, where you can see on my gaming channel. We've already uploaded a couple videos over there. Go check it out. But my Kent State dynasty, Drew DeShields, my freshman quarterback, you know, that's what we do. And that's what I do as a play caller. I don't want it to be complicated, so I try and dumb it down. We do a lot of crossing concepts, a lot of shallow routes, a lot of mesh concepts. Make the appropriate read, make the appropriate throw, be efficient, be a point guard out there. Go ahead and get on over to the James Cometa Gaming channel and check out the College Football 26 Dynasty. We're rebuilding, ladies and gentlemen. It's so much fun. And then Madden's coming. The new FC 26 is coming. We got a lot of content. I mean, it's just insane. It really is. When you're talking about doing multiple two, three, don't look at me like that, Kellen. When we're doing 2, 3, 4 videos a day on this channel, we got, another hour video on the gaming channel. LOL. Here's a freaking mug on the store. Here's a freaking shirt on the store. We're shipping that out. Oh, then there's this. Oh, then there's that. God bless.
Process question. Do you have notes now, for instance, for Tyler later about what you saw just now? Do you have notes now, or will you watch the tape first and then, or do you try not to bombard them with too many notes at this point?
Post-practice is just get these guys ready to go. We will have afternoon meetings the way our schedule goes. We got practice in the morning. We'll watch the film right after this. We'll then transition into a practice review session for special teams, offense, defense. We'll come out here and do a walkthrough in the afternoons, which is really good work because we get corrections, and then we get some of the additional stuff that we may not have gotten through practice. And so we do that routine, and then in the evenings is our install. So we kind of get into this flow. This is our second day of it now, so we're starting to find our rhythm.
My guy Matt Eumanns over at VEASAN, so he is a he's the man. But Eumanns, I know sometimes during college football season, he said he'll watch a game 2-3 times, take notes on it, you know, live, then he'll rewatch it, and then he might rewatch it again before he shelves it, moves on to the next week. Imagine watching Utah State and, you know, whatever, Colorado 3 times casually. And that's why I always say, like, when Colin Cowherd, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, whatever, whenever they're doing stuff and you can tell they're not watching all these games. In today's day and age, ladies and gentlemen, there are guys out there, there are analysts out there who are watching every game. I'll tell you this right now. If I could, I would watch every single NFL game 2-3 times. Like, I would watch it live on Sunday, and then I'd probably watch it again in like a fast version, a rapid version. And then I'll probably watch it another time in another more rapid version. Be no sweat.
You know, a lot of the things like you
just love of the game.
Tell them at this point, or do you figure it out too when you watch it?
You take a lot of notes during practice of things that, you know, immediately jump out,
yeah.
You know, on both sides of the ball and special teams. And so you're constantly taking those notes, and then we'll evaluate it as a staff to see what clips and what notes we need to make.
Fun fact, when I'm in the Loge, when I'm at the Saints games in the Dome, I try and take some notes throughout the game of stuff that I do want to hit on in my little post, you know, my videos, my post-game reviews or whatever. And it's funny because you can tell in the notes first couple notes are really detailed, really, really, you know, solid. And then as those couple of crowns start hitting, ladies and gentlemen, as those couple of Bloody Marys make their way into my tummy, and then, oh, now here's some crown and soda. And, oh, here's a maybe a fentanyl-laced lukewarm old Milwaukee from some guy's ice chest on the walk back. All of a sudden, the notes get a little confusing. The notes get a little, you know, what the hell am I even talking about by bullet point 6, 7, 8?
When a quarterback competition is going on, and like, is there a difference from a mental standpoint for the guys going through that versus like going in knowing you're going to be the guy?
Yeah, I mean, competition always is a part of this process. And so, yeah, sometimes there's certain places in the NFL where people probably have fairly defined roles, and, you know, whether it's a starter or a backup. But these guys get a chance to compete, and I think that's all you can ask for as a player in the NFL is a chance to compete, to go start and play for a team.
And there are, like, penalties or operation errors. Does it cut into reps, like, at all? Like, do you have to redo the same play 2 times or 3 times? Like, does it cut into?
Yeah, there's consequences with it. I think, you know, if you make a mistake on the field pre-snap, we just switch that guy out. There's consequences related to that. You're not playing the next play, and then we'll get him back in eventually. Anything post-snap, we move on to the next play. We obviously miss that opportunity.
Kellen, they talk a lot about Tyler and Fizzer. What are your thoughts on Jason?
Yeah, I think all.
No clue what that question was. That guy might have been across the street asking that question. That might have been a telegram. I don't even
know. All four of these QBs, again, they've done a really good job. I think they're wired the right way. They prepare the right way. I love Jake's decisiveness out there on the field. And so when he sees, he trusts, he lets it rip. And so excited for all these guys to compete and all have an opportunity to compete in this situation.
Will Jake have first team tomorrow then?
We'll talk about it as we keep going. And I anticipate him being with the ones in some capacity tomorrow, yeah, for sure.
What was the Philly where you had one of the top ones you punches at the receiver in the league? Where do you view Chiquita Olave on their path?
Whoa, top 1-2 punch in the league. Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. Are you forgetting about Drake London and Darnell Mooney?
They're heading in the right direction, and they're doing an awesome job. Obviously, you know, you see it out there on the field. They've been really productive in the NFL, and now it's a matter of just, you know, being out there and being consistent and continuing to play. And so we feel like we got a great group there.
Julian Blackman, what did you like about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big-time player. Julian, he's played in this league for a number of years now, played at a really, really high level, productive. He's got ball skills. He's got a great feel for the game. You know, he's got a really diverse background as far as playing corner in college, playing some safety, and so he brings some versatility, and so we like that about him, and we're fired up to get him.
Is there any next step that you want? I mean, you mentioned, you know, Tyler doing a great job preparing through the OTAs, mentoring minicamp, all that process.
Yep.
And now, like, is there a next step you wanted to take kind of, you know, physically when it comes to kind of implementing it other than decisiveness?
Yeah, I think each of these quarterbacks, as you go through this, it's a preparation aspect, and then ultimately there's a, you know, what happens on the field, and you know, that's the physical component, but that's also the decision making part of this. And so these guys just got to keep growing and keep playing consistent football.
What's the path kind of for Deckers, and what do you guys want to see from him?
Yeah, you know, certainly develop in every aspect. He's with Scotty a ton during post practice, pre practice. He'll sneak in there on occasion, and so, you know, as this training camp goes, he'll certainly get his opportunities, and he'll be ready to contribute in these preseason games.
Don't forget, guys, Hunter Deckers, you know, was away from the game for a little bit, so he does have even more of an acclimation period where he's got to get just football ready. Then he's got to get up to NFL level ready. It's not like he's coming straight from Iowa State straight to New Orleans, right? So he's going to take a little bit. Hopefully, my hope is, and we'll see how this plays out, but my hope is that Hunter, he gets utilized at some point in that, you know, tush push, Taysom Hill kind of role, not to that extreme, but, you know, maybe he could be a versatile asset that way. Will it happen? Who the hell knows? He might just be on the practice squad this year. I don't know.
Well,
Bub's
done a nice job. I think, you know, one of those guys, when you get into that second year, there's always that second year jump. And so your first year, there's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. And then your second year, you start finding your rhythm. And so we expect that from Bub. He's done a nice job this offseason, and he'll be ready to roll.
How much of that do you see when it comes to transfer to the top of the second year jump and finding your rhythm?
I think there's a lot of understanding the expectations. You understand the rhythm of what training camp looks like and feels like. And so, you know, there's a number of guys that we expect those that second year in the NFL to contribute at a really high level.
Is there a reason you wanted, like, Spencer to be the number 2 today rather than have it go, like, you know, just
We'll just kind of rotate through. We're trying to get as many different opportunities for these guys and balance out the reps.
You mentioned that you liked Spencer's film last year and that he showed a lot of good things.
Yep.
How much do you kind of reference that when, thinking about his development here? What successful was him last year and what wasn't? Do you apply any of that into what he can be with your offense?
It's probably
good question. You do wonder, how much do you look to last year as a reference point, because so much has changed, so many things Spencer was going through was such a weird time, even just the roster, who was injured, who was not, the coaches, being fired. And I mean, it's just an insane situation. 1 year with Clint Kubiak, totally different offense. What parts do you reference? I would think you have to kind of strip that down to the decision making, because that doesn't matter, right? That's totally separate from any system or situation you're in. Decision making, and then your physical capability, where he, his arm slot, things like that, his feet, that translates no matter what offense you're in.
The initial evaluation process, and really right now we're really focused on this. Obviously there'll be reference points as you continue to build, but a lot of that was acknowledged. We think he did some really good things last year. And we're really focused on now.
For example, let's say Spencer's, let's say he's throwing picks or whatever in camp. And all of a sudden, then you look at that film and you say, his feet are here or his arm angle is here. Then you may go back to last year and say, is this something that was happening last year? Then you may even go back to South Carolina and say, is this something that was happening there? When did he develop this? What is this a trait? Was this a one-time thing? Is this just something we have to work out of?
Task is at hand.
Are you open to calling anything differently depending on whose quarterback? Are they all getting the same?
Right now it's pretty balanced.
Right now it's all the same. Right now it's the install. Right now it's all just the fundamentals, the foundation. As we get more detailed, as we get more reps, as we get more stuff installed, then stuff will get a little more tailored.
It's not really specific to a quarterback, giving them all different exposures. And so, obviously that changes as you progress.
How often do y'all intend to have officials out of practice?
As many days as we can.
Is there is that a CBA thing, or is there?
No. I think there's always options available. Yeah, sometimes there'll be NFL officials at certain parts of our camp. And then, we have an opportunity to bring some guys in who are more from a local perspective, officiated, college and high school around here.
I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome to have officials out there because, again, attention to details. Like, there's going to be penalties. There's going to be stuff going on. So practice like you play. I think that's a really smart thing to do.
Could you rehash specifically just a few examples with Spencer Rattler of what you did like from his film coming into this year?
Yeah, I thought, he had a tremendous ability to start fast and play really, really decisive last year. And I thought, there's some really big-time games in there where, he was decisive. He'd take shots in the pocket and deliver at a big-time level.
Yeah, I was about to say, the thing you got to like the most is that he would die. He would die on the field for a first down.
He had a couple late in the year where he hung in there. He's dealing with some adversity. He's hanging in there and throwing deep outs and over routes. And so, he has some athleticism that's sometimes sneaky that shows up, certainly on game day when it's live bullets. And so, he does a really good job there.
And in terms of individual time management, I know every year is going to be different. Ideally, as a head coach, you'd have this 30,000-foot view, right, and be the CEO. But having been a quarterback, and with the quarterback situation here being so front and center, do you think you're going to end up spending more time in your first year as a coach analyzing that position and thinking about it?
Potentially.
Pretty good question there as well. The idea is, as a head coach, you kind of want to see the entire operations, but because of this unique quarterback battle, that is kind of the most important part right now. So is that where most of your time, your analysis, or whatever is determining which quarterback is where and who's going to end up being, the starter and getting that process done. So great question.
A little bit just as we go through it. Again, you're responsible for all aspects of this thing. And so that's the fun part of this, connect with all those guys, but we'll let this thing play itself out.
How closely did you work with Jake? What did you see from the
day? Hayner? Yeah. So Jake was right there through the whole process during the whole entire offseason program. I mean, he wasn't taking the reps, but he was right there doing everything he could from a walkthrough, a mental standpoint. And so you can tell he still took advantage of the offseason program in every possible way he could, and he was ready and prepared to hop out there and go.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Good stuff from Kellen. I mean, it's just, love it. Good stuff. More attention to detail. This is the guy, I'm telling y'all. I've said it before. I've said it. I said it on Radio Row. Okay. Kellen Moore. And then it was all hypothetical because he wasn't hired yet. I was saying they should get Kellen Moore and he could be this. But now that he's hired, now that he's here, I'll say it again. I think Kellen Moore will go down as the best coach in Saints history. I do. I think he'll be better than Sean Payton. I think he will be the guy. And I think he's too smart. He's too detailed. He has too much to fail. And if he fails, you know, whatever. But I just can't see it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, get on down in the comments below. Thank you for watching. I will see you in the next video.